This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. I sent you what the plan for today's show was last night. You responded and you were pretty excited. I'm going to let you break the news to the fine folks at home, Jake. Who is our special guest going to be today?
Yeah, well, fresh after having Bill Moose the other day in his latest book is the governor of Nebraska, Jim Pillen, going to be joining us. So very interesting. I'm interested to see kind of his response to Bill Moose and his book.
I'm very interested to see what he has to say. Obviously, book, you know, a little bit of a tell-all book. Had no problem telling all from his perspective, so to speak. Large parts of that book were pertained to Nebraska, caught Nebraskans' eye for an obvious reason. And Pillen is brought up in that book when it comes to a couple of decisions, a couple of things. We had Moose on yesterday, you know, kind of mentioned maybe some things that took place he hadn't experienced at other places. And I'm curious to see, you know, when it comes to Dana Altman, because it was mentioned that Pillen specifically was like, he wouldn't be accepted by Nebraskans here, which is interesting because he's from Wilbur. Was it the Creighton connection? Was it something else? You know, and just what else was in that book that, I remember Pillen, I think we talked about this, what was it, Monday, Tuesday, the first time he tweeted out a screenshot of Nebraska's, for no reason whatsoever, just Nebraska's basketball score versus Oregon this year. You know, I'm sure there was no connection to anything on that particular screenshot he put out on Twitter. So get his reaction to other things in the book that, you know, two sides to every story, two different perspectives. What does he agree with? What's his perspective vary on? What are the differences here? So I'm very curious to see. He's going to join us. Now, he's scheduled at 12:45. We're going to try to call him a little bit early, see if we can't get a hold of him a little bit early. So 12:40 to 12:45, we'll bring him on to close the show today. In the meantime, how's Nebraska softball doing? Is it tied 1-1 still? That was the last time I heard. It was tied 1-1. Any updates on that there, Jake?
Yeah, Tennessee. Nebraska did have the lead. Tennessee just scored recently. They just went to break. I can look it up. Like I said, we got the game in studio here, but they just went to commercial break.
Oh, is it right behind me?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. I'll just turn around and look then next time. All right. So Nebraska softball, little revenge. It was Tennessee that ended our season last year, right? Yeah. So get a little bit of revenge, hopefully, on the Volunteers. Again, they have got quite the non-conference preseason slate. They are playing as many top 20, top 15, top 10, top 5 teams as they can. All right, Texas Tech, I believe, is up next after the Tennessee game. And so they're trying to get ready as much as they can for Big Ten conference play, but also they want to make a deep postseason run this year. So we got a lot of things to talk about. I got a random question for you, and I want to know on the text line. All right, because I've asked some folks who are on the 94-95 team, because Rob Zadiskus has maintained this for years, that 94 Nebraska would beat 95 because 95 Nebraska was 94's backups. Yeah. I mean, they're both national championship undefeated teams. I mean, what 94, that team went through from Tommy going down to Brooke going down to finally, you know, winning that first national title for Osborne. That first one's always the toughest one. You got to beat Miami on their home field. Playing for one like the 1 millionth time. But for me, you may have seen this graphic. I think people sometimes forget how good 1971 Nebraska is. And so my question, I'm going to read this real quick. 1971 Nebraska, 13-0, 31 point per game average margin of victory in their 13 wins. They won each game by an average margin of victory of 31 points per game. Now you got to keep in mind, they didn't play a bakery. A bunch of cupcakes. No. They played some good teams. They had 3 shutouts, and I went back. Oh, who did I? I think it was the first time I interviewed Prince Amukamara like 4 years ago because I wanted to talk to him about that 09 Nebraska defense and how good they were. And I compared just statistically the 09 Nebraska defense to all the other, you know, top defenses over the years have stood out to me. The 09 Nebraska defense statistically was ahead of 94, ahead of 95, ahead of the 97 defense, as great as those were. There was a bit of a gap, too. The one defense that was right there with them statistically was 1971. I mean, you got Glover. You've got Larry Jacobson. Willie Harper, I believe, was on that team. Like, that's like three All-Americans, multi-award winners, Outland Trophy winners. Some of the best to ever do it. I mean, Glover finished third in the Heisman Trophy voting. I think it was the next year where he lost to Johnny Rogers. Sue finished fourth, just for perspective, just to look at how good that defensive line was. And the only defense that really statistically was very close to them was the 71 Nebraska defense. When you came to average rushing yards per game allowed, points per game, all this stuff, as I compared those stats a few years ago, it was 09 Nebraska and it was 71 Nebraska's defense. Statistically speaking, I got to clarify. Statistically speaking, those were the top two. So that 71 Nebraska defense, three shutouts, six wins against teams with over 500 win percentage, three wins over final AP ranked teams, but three wins over top 10 teams and three wins over top five teams. They beat number 2, 3, and 4 in the final poll, by the way. 2, 3, and 4 in the final poll. They beat them all. So who would you take, 94 Nebraska, if this hypothetical matchup could happen and everyone's in their prime? Like, if you could create this, not on a video game, but like in real life, this could happen. Who would you take, 95 Nebraska or 71 Nebraska? It may be a little bit hard to answer this because more people are going to be familiar with people from 95. Like, as I was listing names from 71, I wonder how many people are like, I have to look it up to, you know, get up to speed on those names. You know, Jerry Taggy, the quarterback, obviously. Johnny Rogers was on that team. A lot of great players on that team. Who would you take? And I want to know on the text line, who would you find folks take?
Yeah, it's always a good question. I mean, those are the two teams that usually are discussed as far as the best, not just in Nebraska football history, but in the best of all time, for good reason, right? I mean, the 1971 crowd, as you mentioned, team just dominated everybody outside of the game of the century, which there's a reason it's called that. It's a huge game. Of course, the 95 team just dominated everybody. Maybe you'd say Washington State kept it close there for a second, but I mean, everybody else was just blown out of the water. So, I mean, it'd be interesting. The 71 team ran a 5-2. That might actually be helpful against the 95 offense. Might be interesting. I mean, again, I think it's probably recency bias, even though I was 5 years old when this happened. But I mean, I'd probably go 95. But, you know, a lot of that's just kind of expecting and thinking, you know, the athletes get bigger, stronger, faster by, you know, a couple decades later.
You know, that Oklahoma team, I think people forget how good that Oklahoma team was because Nebraska, who'd we play? I remember we played LSU to win that first national title. Who did we play to win? Was it Alabama? It was Alabama. Yeah, beat them like 38-6 in the Orange Bowl. Yeah. I remember, right? I was doubting myself. How dare I? And Alabama was, I believe, number 2 or 3 in the country, and that game wasn't even close. Oklahoma went and played the number 4 team in the country, and just they beat them by 30. So for perspectives, a little bit of perspective here, 71 Nebraska played three top 5 teams, 2, 3, and 4, beat number 2, 3, and 4 in the country. By the way, Oklahoma that year finished number 2 in the country, averaged over 400 yards rushing a game. Think about that. Averaged over 400 yards rushing a game. Finished number 2 in the country. The only team that even came close to Nebraska. But the 95 team won their games by an average. They beat, what was it, 3 top 10 teams? Okay, Colorado, Kansas State, 4. And then you factor in Miami. So they beat 4 in the top 10. And plenty of teams in the top 5. But they won their games by an average margin of victory. I think it was 38.6 points per game. 71 Nebraska was 31 points per game. Man, that'd be a fun game to watch. That defensive line versus our option offense, everyone that I just listed. Like, there's three All-Americans that I talked about. Heisman Trophy finalists. Like Larry Jacobson, I see him around all the time. Won multiple postseason awards, including the Outland Trophy. National awards. And Willie Harper, you know, All-American. That would be fun to watch. I'd probably... A lot of curiosity. What is the text line saying out of curiosity?
Bill and Bennett says Taggy. He's just excited to take Taggy. Thomas and Lincoln says the 95 team, though he said he'd take the 09 defense. Justin from Hickman says, wasn't alive in 71, was a kid in 95. So maybe I'm biased.
Thank you.
Like me, take the 95 team in a close one.
Okay. He's explaining why. Okay. I get it.
And then James Lincoln says, there are some people who think the 71 Oklahoma team is one of the best five ever.
So that's where I was kind of going with the Oklahoma thing, and I was going to circle back to it after we got a few more answers off the text line. A lot of folks like believe legit that 71 Oklahoma team, 83 Nebraska. There's one more that is escaping me. Oh, I know who it is. 05 USC. Might be the three best teams in college football history that did not win a national title. And if you were to just sit down and rank the greatest teams in the history of college football and you made a top 25, those would be three teams that would be in your top 25 greatest teams in the history of college football and the only three that didn't win a national title. Like, that's how good those three teams were. I think people forget how good that 05 USC team was because, I mean, Texas ended up, is that the greatest national championship game you've ever seen? In that? It helps that it was in the Rose Bowl and how epic it was. Is that the greatest national championship game you've ever seen? That 05 national title game between Vince Young, Texas, Linehart, Bush, two Heisman Trophy winners in the same backfield. Is that the greatest national title game you've ever seen?
Yeah. And the, you know, they're just Vince Young scrambling, all that sort of stuff. The fourth one with Lindell White. I mean, it was. I always say that's the best game I've ever seen, period. I think that's partially because of the stakes that were on it. But yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I just got some unfortunate text. Unfortunately, something, an unfortunate passing away. Pillen had to go out of town, funeral. So he will not be able to make it today. I will see if I can reschedule or not. If it does not work out, that's all right. We can have him on at some point in the future. I don't know how long he's going to be out of town. Man, that would have been exciting. What are some of the questions you would have wanted to ask him, Jake? We kind of mentioned him earlier.
Yeah. But. Yeah. I mean, I think he would lead off with the Dana Altman conversation because that's where it gets interesting. But, you know, I'm intrigued that he wants to at least get his side of the story. And I think it's fair, right? It's because, you know, it, like you said, it's just from Bill Moose's perspective and, you know, how it, from that perspective, it felt quite messy. But obviously, toward the end of Bill Moose's tenure, too, I don't know if there was as much, you know, trust going back to his way, you know. So, that's where I would start, but I would also just kind of wonder the power dynamics, not only then, but throughout his tenure, because he was on the Board of Regents for 10 years, I believe. So to compare it throughout, you know, that time, cause that, that goes across what, three coaching staffs as well.
It just makes you, and there's certain things that we're aware of. Sometimes we allude to things, sometimes we don't. You never want to betray someone's trust. That's always my priority. Sometimes folks will be like, oh, you got all these connections. Why don't you ever tell? Because if you start outing people, then they're not going to trust you with things. You know, what's funny. There's a particular guy. You and I know him. I ask him sometimes what he knows just to see what he knows. He's intriguing to me because I know he considers himself to be an insider. And he is, kind of. I see him all the time. Sometimes I'm just like, what do you know? What do you not know? Sometimes he knows things that I don't. But a lot of times I'm like, oh, that's what they chose to share with you. That's interesting. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I'm like, that's what they chose to share with you. Because sometimes you share the things that they share with you and they share with you the things they want you to know so that you'll share them.
Yeah.
So to me, I always get a kick out of this guy whenever I'm around him. You know, not that he doesn't know things, not that I know everything. I'm not insinuating that. This particular individual just kind of makes me smile sometimes. So. But when you look at the power dynamics, whether it be, I mean, it's not just Nebraska. I mean, obviously, we're going to focus on the University of Nebraska, but there's a chancellor, there's a president, there's an AD, there's a coach, there's boosters, there's people who, you know, especially with NIL, the transfer portal, donors, you got sponsors. Like, there's a lot of people involved in different things. And I know we're focused on Nebraska, but this isn't just a Nebraska thing. This is at every university that there is. That's why when people talk about, man, having alignment from the chancellor to the president, to the AD, to the coach, that's what you want. You want people on the same page because if you don't, then it becomes a power struggle. Then I don't think I have to diatribe out why that's not a great scenario. And that's why what coaches look for. One of the things they look for along with, you know, what does the contract look like when they're looking at jobs? Dang, it's a bummer. He won't be able to join us. thoughts and prayers to whatever did take place. I didn't get details, didn't ask for details, but thoughts and prayers in that whole situation and everything that's unfolding there. So I do want to give a shout out to a couple of sponsors. Shout out to our good partners and friends at Suizo Construction, where safety isn't just a policy, it's a promise. Suizo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work and a team that has your back both on and off the job site. Apply today at suizo.com. 40 years strong in business. Suizo Construction. Again, that's S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W.com, suizo.com. Shout out to Hamilton Telecommunications as well. Good partners, friends, and sponsors of this show. They bring you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more. 125 years. That still amazes me every time. All right. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. Again, that's HamiltonTel.com. What are some of the other thoughts off the text line as far as who would win? 71 Nebraska, 95 Nebraska. Have we gotten any other responses so far?
Well, we just had 6471 says the 1984 team was the best never to not to win a title. In fact, 84 beat 71, 94, 95, and 97. I'll take Turner Gill, Mike Rozier, and Irving Fryer over any other offense.
I mean, you had me until you just went AWOL there at the end. Okay, so is it possible that a team that doesn't win the national title one year could beat a team that wins the national title the next year? It is possible that there are two teams who are better in a particular year in a national title game. One team obviously has to lose, then maybe the team that wins the national title the next year. Is that a possibility?
It absolutely is. But I mean, that's what I loved about college football is that when if you can make it through a season undefeated, it kind of puts you in this different realm, right? Of like untouchable. And so you could argue that. So if you had a tie or a loss, you know, it just it takes away the idea that you couldn't be beaten.
All right. I did not expect a plan to spend this much time on this, but that's okay. All right. The 83 Nebraska team, scoring explosion, the triplets, three of the greatest ever, one of the greatest teams ever. I would personally not take them over 71 Nebraska or 95 Nebraska. I've always thought the discussion in 94 Nebraska versus 97 Nebraska would be about the most intriguing one to me. And unfortunately, I'm not comparing 1970 Nebraska to any other Husker team just for fun. I know the least about that team. We had one tie out at USC. USC was number three that year. USC actually ended up turning out to not be that great. They were barely over 500 by the end of the year. But when we played them out in the Coliseum earlier that season, they were number three in the country, ended up being a tie. Obviously, we beat LSU 17-12 in the Orange Bowl, Taggy over the goal line, like all that stuff. But beyond that, I'm not as familiar with that particular team. I still think I would take 71 Nebraska, 95 Nebraska. But over 83 Nebraska. But man, that'd be an intriguing conversation, 83 Nebraska versus some of these other teams that won. But I'm going to pose to you, I would take 95 Nebraska over 71 Nebraska. And I think if the personnel could all be in their prime, all in their youth and everything, I think the 95 Nebraska team has two distinct advantages. Number one, Tom Osborne has a lot more experience under his belt. Okay, not that Devaney as a head coach, you know, wasn't a great head coach, but Osborne had, like, what, 22, 23, if I can do some math in my head, years worth of coaching under his belt at that point. I think that's an advantage. And just the way I thought you mentioned it, that's the other thing I was going to go to, the 5-2 versus the 4-3. I think just that scheme and the speed on defense, despite the great players on both sides, I think that gives the slight edge to Nebraska, in my opinion. But what about
95?
Yeah, 95. I said Nebraska, and that doesn't give enough of an answer.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know who you're talking about.
In my mind, you know who I'm picturing? I'm going to be honest with you. It's Terrell Farley jumping up in the air because he's walking around here all the time. That's what I was picturing in my head, which is why I just said Nebraska, and I didn't follow up with 95 because I was already had that image in my head. But 94 versus 97, that's an interesting debate. Who would you take in that match if we could have this utopian world where we get the perfect matchups that we want just for fun?
Oh boy, that really is a tough one. I suppose I'd lead 94 again. A lot of these are just kind of like your weakest point, right?
Yeah.
97 was this, you know, obviously an incomplete pass away from not winning the national title.
So could I pause you?
Yeah.
Sorry, because I think a lot of people almost act like that was a loss.
Yeah.
It's almost like they lost that game. Let me just remind you, they won the game. Like, a lot of people almost use that as like a loss against Nebraska. And subconsciously, I'm not going to lie, I have two for years. And I have to remind myself they won the game. And then they played the number three team in the country because, you know, we couldn't play Michigan that year. It was 42-17. Peyton Manning. Now, Miami was phenomenal. Again, number three in the country because we couldn't play number two Penn State in 94. 24-17. So does that factor in at all? The one loss, as some people see it, which it was not, versus Missouri, versus, hey, we blew out the number three team in the country in 97, and it was maybe Miami, you just feel, was that much better than Tennessee, the 94 Miami team versus the 97 Tennessee team. I don't know. Does any of that factor into whatever it is you're about to say? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to throw that out there. Maybe that factors into what you're going to say here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all, again, you kind of just have to factor it all in. And these are fun. We'd absolutely love to see these out there. It's also, I think, oddly enough, because I was just thinking through, it's like the first title that you'll hold that close to your heart, right? For Osborne. But you should be doing that with the last title, too. That's his last game, right?
Oh, so, that's a good point.
So yeah. Maybe, I mean, but, you know, you just kind of go through personnel there, and both of them are loaded. It's really a tough kind of question. I, like you said, I mean, between the two, picking between 95 and 71, very difficult to do. And then this year, 94, 97 is like, you're just... Yeah, I mean, you can lean one way or the other. There's no right answer, but it's just a tough to do.
Oh, yeah. This is just for fun. Like when my daughter, Trinity, she does it. Who's your favorite daughter, Dad? You know, and I'll pick out the one who's been the least pain in the butt lately. And they know I'm joking, but I'm also kind of like, y'all need to stop being a pain in my butt. Right? Right now, she's being less of a pain in the butt. So it's like picking your favorite between your kids. It really is no favorite. You love them all. Maybe you joke. Maybe you're having fun with it or whatever. That being said, it's a coin toss. There is the greatest option quarterback in the history of college football, and Scott Frost was a good option quarterback, is on one team. A killer competitor is on one team. I would give the edge. This is for fun. To 94 Nebraska because of who's got the ball in his hands, and that's Tommy Frazier. In my opinion, if he wins that Heisman over Eddie George, like, he's already considered one of the greatest college football players of all time. The only thing he's missing is the Heisman, and I'll never forget. I asked Osborne about 3 years ago. I thought he would give me the very kind, nice, non-answer. He didn't. Because I asked him, I go, do you think Frazier should have won that Heisman the year that Eddie George won it? He goes, absolutely. Without hesitation, I was like, whoa. And, you know, Osborne was his coach. But Osborne, you know how he is. You know, he almost didn't vote for Nebraska in 97 after that Orange Bowl. They beat Tennessee.
Wow.
He didn't vote until way late. Like, he's a man who tries to be as unbiased as he can. He didn't hesitate. I will never forget his answers. Absolutely. Like, no hesitation. If Frazier wins that, like, it's hard to argue too many college football players over the years who had better careers than him. And to me, I like having the ball in his hands. Obviously, you got Behringer on that team and everything else, and the moxie that team showed throughout the year with all the injuries, especially at the quarterback position and whatnot. Any final thoughts before we go to our first break?
Well, yeah, I mean, all that sounds great. They didn't go up against Grant Whisper and Jason Peter.
Ooh. That's a good point. Hold on. Was Grant a freshman? He was a freshman, 94, right?
He was a freshman.
So you're technically on that team. He just wasn't starting yet.
He wasn't that same.
But that goes to Rob's point. All those guys were our backups in 90. Like, all those other guys were our backups. Graham was also 4 years, 3 years older in 97. A little bit unfair.
A Lombardi Award winner by 97.
Yeah, some pretty good linemen on a D lineman on that 94 Nebraska team, we might add as well.
Yeah.
All right. If you got any thoughts, text us in your thoughts. Let us know. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When it's time to scale your business, it's time for Shopify. Get everything you need to grow the way you want. Like, all the way. Stack more sales with the best converting checkout on the planet. Track your cha-chings from every channel, right in one spot. And turn real-time reporting into big-time opportunities. Take your business to a whole new level. Switch to Shopify. Start your free trial today